Welcome to the Discover Strength podcast. I'm Luke Carlson. I'm the CEO of Discover Strength, and I'm an exercise physiologist. On this episode, we're going to debunk the myth, the prevalent myth of functional training. Now, functional training has been around for probably 25 years. We've seen an increase in the term's popularity over the last 10 years. When we refer to functional training, when you hear functional training, when you hear that an exercise is functional, what we're generally referring to is a classification of exercise, which involves training the body for activities that are going to be performed in daily life. So the premise is when you're strength training, choose exercises that are functional meaning they will transfer to whatever you're going to do in daily life. Okay, so that could be bending and twisting and squatting. We bend, we twist, and we squat, for example, in our daily lives. And so the premise of functional training is make sure your strength training exercises involve bending, twisting, and squatting. Another application of functional training, maybe the actual genesis of functional training, is mimicking mechanics that we're going to see in a particular sport during our strength training workout. So think about a whole variety of sports, and then think about the movements utilized in those sports, and then just plan exercises that mimic those movements. And so examples here, the classic examples would be football players in the 70s and 80s performed what was called a power clean. So this is a barbell on the floor in front of you. You're grabbing onto it with both hands and standing in a bent knee position. You're trying to essentially explode or jump up, straightening out your legs, hoisting that barbell up in the air, and then you essentially catch it. Well, the idea there was that was a functional exercise. It was going to mimic, it was going to transfer to this explosive movement that you'd use in the game of football when you're exploding off the line of scrimmage or at the point of contact when you're tackling a ball carrier. That's why everybody that played high school or college football was taught to do a power clean exercise. So that's mimicking the mechanics. And there's more extreme examples of this. It was on the cover of a popular golf magazine a number of years ago where they had a golfer standing. This is a PGA professional standing on a balance ball and swinging a golf club that was weighted at the same time. And of course, the idea there, the intent there was, well, this is a golfer. They don't need to strength train with machines or traditional free weights. They should mimic what they're going to do in their actual sport. And in this case, that sport was golf. The problem with all of this, of course, is that that's not how skill transfer works. In the field of motor learning and motor control, we look at open skills and we looked at closed skills. So open skills are a baseball being thrown at you as a hitter, and you have to respond to that baseball. You swing the bat. Every time that pitch is thrown, it's going to be a little bit different. An open skill is a defender defending you in a basketball game, and you make a move and you're driving to the lane or driving down the lane trying to execute a layup. There is an infinite number of open skills in sports and essentially everyday activities. We have to, in an open skill, we have to respond to the stimuli around us. A closed skill, we don't respond to that stimuli, right? A closed skill would be like shooting a free throw. The task is going to be the same regardless of what an opponent does, regardless of what the external environment actually does. So we understand that closed skills just don't transfer to open skills, and open skills generally don't transfer to open skills. This whole area of skill transfer or task transfer, we just don't see in the literature as much transfer as we would hope for. So what this means is when you practice a specific exercise trying to mimic an activity of daily living or a sport, we don't actually see a transfer in performance. And so here's a classic example, wonderful research on baseball players. So baseball players at all levels forever, when they're in the on deck circle, they'll put a weighted donut on the end, the barrel of the bat. And they'll take a few cuts, a few swings with this weighted bat. And of course, the thought is the bat's heavier when I'm swinging in the on deck circle. So when I get into the batter's box and I swing, the bat is going to feel so light. It'll increase the velocity of my swing. I'll have more power as a hitter. And of course, the research says we actually decrease not only velocity of the bat when we take the weighted donut off. Batting average for those batters, and these are even with Major League Baseball players, actually decreases. Now, why is that? Well, at this point, it should become obvious. You're practicing a different skill when you're in the batter's box than when you were in the on-deck circle with the weighted donuts on the bat. So our take-home message for athletes is you want to practice the skill that your sport involves in as much of a task-specific or sports-specific context as possible. Because we know as soon as the skill is not identical to the skill that you're practicing, there's just no transfer. So let's just back up for a second, get to another example. One of my all-time favorite marathon runners is Dina Castor. She was a longtime U.S. women's marathon record holder. She held onto this record for many, many years. I think she might still have it today if she ran in this era of super shoes where shoes are carbon plated, but she's just truly an incredible marathon runner, won the Chicago Marathon, won the London Marathon, retired now. Well, she's featured in a documentary. The documentary is called The Spirit of the Marathon. Highly recommend that movie. And they show her strength training. And so what is she doing? She's standing in front of a mirror, holding on to light dumbbells, swinging the dumbbells at her arms by her side, mimicking what her upper body movement's going to look like during a marathon. And of course, she should not do that because in a marathon, she's never actually going to be holding weights. And so she's actually confusing the neural patterns, the skill involved in marathon running. Now, what should she do? What should the baseball player do? They should, of course, just strength train the muscles involved in their sport or in their skill, and then they should go practice that skill or that sport. So this applies to golf. This applies to baseball. This applies to even long distance running. So just focus on getting strong by doing basic exercises and then go practice the actual specific skill. So to that point, there's really no such thing as functional exercise, or maybe everything is functional exercise. So I want to walk through a paper that was published in the last year. This paper was published in the Frontiers in Sports and Active Living. And the paper is titled, Is There Any Non-Functional Training? A Conceptual Review. So the conclusion from these researchers, the current study data show that functional training has no consistent and universal definition. So side note here, it is clearly a marketing creation. Let me continue. Functional training programs and exercises are not different from those already used in sports training, and the claimed neuromuscular adaptations are also the same. In other words, there is no non-functional or traditional training. You're not doing functional training or traditional training. It's probably all functional training, or you could look at it as all not functional training. Therefore, here's their conclusion. Therefore, there is no rationale in classifying exercise training programs as functional training. Now, one of my favorite researchers, Dr. Brad Schoenfeld, adds the term functional fitness is one of the most misapplied concepts in exercise science. The fact is, virtually all exercises can be functional depending on the context. Now, here's his point. If you're doing what's traditionally be considered a non-functional exercise, sitting down on a leg extension machine, putting a seatbelt on and extending your legs, an advocate of functional training would say, when are you going to do that in real life? So that's never going to transfer to your real life activity. You're never going to find yourself sitting in a chair where you have to extend your legs away from your body, lifting a very heavy weight, you know, with your ankles or with that force applied on your ankles. Well, that's true. But Brad Schoenfeld's point here and our point in this whole discussion is the leg extension stimulates improvements in muscle strength and muscle endurance and muscle hypertrophy in your quadriceps. And you can take that strength and you can take that endurance and you can apply it to literally anything, to squatting, to jumping, to sprinting, to bending, to hiking, to whatever it is. And so to his point, every exercise that we do is probably truly functional exercise. So how do we move this forward? Well, anyone that tells us that we should try to mimic activities in daily living and our strength training exercise, and we should run the other way. We just know that that's not possible. What should we do? We should strengthen all the major muscles of our structure, right? So this is a balance of upper body pushing, upper body pulling movements. We're covering the chest, the upper back, the lats, the shoulders. We're even focused on some neck musculature, the abdominals, the low back, the muscles in the sides of our trunk, the internal and external obliques, all of our leg musculature, the powerful glutes, the hamstrings, the back of the legs, the quads, the front of the legs, our lower legs, our calves, our tibialis anterior, the muscles in the front of the leg. We should cover all the major muscle structures. And then we should take that new, improved physiology that we possess and go apply it to our activities of daily living. So maybe that's your golf swing. Maybe that's running a marathon. Maybe that's climbing mountains. Now, what if you want to get better at your golf swing? What if you want to get better at hiking? What if you want to get better at running marathons? The research is very clear. We just have to practice that specific skill. So take this new improved physiology and practice your golf swing, right? In my old days in the NFL and in college football, we used to teach all of our players, hey, we're not going to power clean ever, okay? We used to think that power clean was just like playing football, exploding off the line of scrimmage. The motor learning research is very clear that exploding off the line of scrimmage from your three-point stance is just like exploding off the line of scrimmage. So we should do that. We should do that sport-specific, quote, functional training, end quote. We just shouldn't do it with any resistance. So we should lift weights intensely in the weight room with basic exercises covering all the major muscle groups. And then we should go out to practice and we should practice exploding off the line of scrimmage in a context that's as specific to a game environment as possible. There is no such thing as functional training, or potentially every strength training exercise that you do is truly functional.